Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Oh, hi, Mark.
It is really important for me right now to tell you something that you may be wondering right now as you're waking up and you're still trying to clean the sleep out of your eyes, and I don't know, maybe you're out of sorts, maybe you're not even in your own bed. It's very possible. It happens. So it is very important for me to tell you right now that it is 9:01 a.m. in Chicago right now, and in its suburbs, and all across the central time zone, because clocks did go forward 1 hour, which makes it 9:01 a.m. on a Sunday morning. And at least where I am right now, the sun is beaming brightly in Chicago. So it is a beautiful day here. And I know, look, partly I'm doing this for myself to give you the time, because no matter how much our devices all cooperate with us these days and everything just magically switches in the middle of the night and you don't even know it happened, it's like Santa Claus came to all of your clocks and you wake up and something different has happened, but it's all really been taken care of for you. Still a little paranoid. It's like, okay, I'm trusting you devices. I'm gonna go to bed now. Alexa is off. The radio is off. Phone is off. Everything. Okay. You better advance 1 hour, because I'm not doing this. It's on the devices. And for me, apparently they did cooperate, because it is now 9:02 a.m. in Chicago, and I am here on the air where I am scheduled to be on the score right now until noon today. So I get to be with you guys on a Sunday morning. Hope you guys are doing great. Our phone lines are open, as they always are when I'm on the air. Our guy Tyler Farengel will open those phone lines, and he's the man to whom you will speak if you decide that you would like to call the score this morning at 312-644-6767. I promise I will give you things that you probably will want to call about. And you could text as well. 312-644-6767 is that number, and we keep a continuing run on those text messages. I read many of them, see them all though, whether I see them in real time or during the breaks or sometimes even after the show. We always take a look at the text line. It's not like it just goes away. I guess eventually it kind of goes away, but we read those. So it is definitely something that is worth your time if you would like to do it. On the show today, we will have three guests right now, is what we have scheduled. Coming up in about 20 minutes from right now, 9:20, the mighty Mark Potash from the Chicago Sun-Times to talk about the Chicago Bears. At 10 o'clock, Josh Schrock will talk Bears. He of NBC Sports Chicago. And then I can't wait until 11 o'clock this morning. Who knows what time it is in Arizona right now. But at 11 o'clock, as we get ready for another Cubs game, Matt Spiegel will be doing the play-by-play alongside Ron Coomer today. So we will talk to Spiegs, get a scene setter from him, and just talk Cubs, maybe even talk White Sox with Spiegel, because he can talk all baseball, and I think that would probably be a good usage of his time and all of ours as well. If the social media lines that you can personally get to me, if they are any indication of what this show is going to be like and what the vibe of it might be, I think I like it. I think I like what's going on a Sunday morning where we can get a little nostalgic and sometimes think about the past. I put up a post because this is what I was thinking about this morning. No matter what I was thinking about, it's a fluid situation. Yesterday, I might have led with something different. And when I went to bed, I probably had a different idea of where I wanted to start in my head. But where I want to start today is what I posted on social media, and then I will give you some of the answers that have arisen, or have arrived, I should say, even before I came on the air. But I said moments ago, let's talk Bears at 9 a.m. on 670 The Score, and specifically a veteran wide receiver that is on my mind. Let's see. The quick responses I got from that. Willie Gault or Ken Marjoram. Jeff, Allen Robinson. So got that. Let's see, another one from our guy Canuck Boy. It's either Mooney, that'd be Darnell, or Marty Booker. So, yeah, those names are all fun to talk. I love Marty Booker. He's in the record books for the Bears wide receiver somewhere, just because you didn't have to be that great to be part of the Bears records and top 10 lists for wide receivers, and that certainly is Marty Booker. Darnell Mooney, freshly about to potentially sign with somebody. And then, yeah, Ken Marjoram, Willie Gault, I certainly appreciate it all. We have to remember that this week, too, this is a big week because the NFL legal tampering period opens tomorrow at 11 a.m. That's when deals can be formed with free agents via the agents only. You do that, you do it incorrect. If you don't follow protocol, you get in trouble. We know all about that. The actual league year opens on Wednesday at 3 p.m. That's when those deals can become official, and we could talk about all those dirty little secrets that will be going on over the next couple of days. I got to tell you, here's why I'm thinking about wide receiver this morning and an idea that I have for the Bears, and I want to run it past you guys, because you start to look at the wide receiver free agency pool. I mean, it's fair. Like, those names that you guys were popping up on my social media, I mean, those might be comparable to some of what's left at this point. There are not a lot of big-time wide receivers available anymore at wide receiver right now. Calvin Ridley is still on the board, who is a good option. You know, people have officially marked Calvin Ridley because of the season that he missed because of the gambling. But Calvin Ridley was good for another 1,000 yards last year, right around 29 years old. But then it becomes Darnell Mooney. Like, Darnell Mooney, Marquise Brown, Odell Beckham, DJ Shark, Curtis Samuel, Tyler Boyd. You know, the names are not nearly as significant in free agency right now for the wide receiver. So how about, then you have to start to think about, what are you going to do opposite of DJ Moore if you're not going to get it in free agency? And look, it's still possible. Don't worry, we'll talk about the draft and a guy that they could zero in on. But even at number 9 right now, I don't think you're going to get any of the big 3 wide receivers in the draft: Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, and Roma Dunze. So you're going to have to do some work. But we'll get back to the draft here in a second. But you have to do, no matter who your quarterback is, and I still think it's going to be Caleb Williams, DJ Moore is going to need a friend next year, and so is Cole Kmet, and you do not want to leave whoever the quarterback is to complain about what he has weapon-wise. Yesterday, we saw Jerry Jeudy of the Denver Broncos traded to Cleveland for 5th and 6th round picks. That's what got me thinking about this guy. Ready? The guy I'm talking about this morning, Terry McLaurin, Washington Commanders. Quietly, sort of like DJ Moore, quietly one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. Like, you start to look at this guy's numbers, and first of all, he's been incredibly healthy. Like, the last 3 years, 17 games, 17 starts in each of the last 3 years. In his first 2 years, I mean, he missed one game in 2020, two games in 2019. So that's one of the first columns I look at when I'm looking at a wide receiver. But then he has had 1,000-yard seasons every year of his five-year career except for his rookie year. And even in that rookie year, he had 919 yards. So this is – I don't really think I need to convince you on the performer this guy is. 28 years old. He – money. You're like, well, what about money? In July of 2022, Terry McLaurin – signed a three-year, $71 million extension, $28 million in guaranteed money. So he is under contract for the next couple of years, and I know all the ins and the outs of it, but for whatever it's worth. So that's the baggage that you would be claiming if you were to make a trade for Terry McLaurin. The question is now, what would you trade to get Terry McLaurin, the wide receiver, on the Chicago Bears, and the place that they are going to start, that obviously Washington is probably going to start with that number 9 overall pick right now that the Bears have. So while who knows what the Bears are thinking with that number 9 pick, my gut right now in my latest mock draft, I've indicated it, that they trade down, but other people have the Bears trading up in that spot. I am suggesting today that the Bears trade that pick. If Washington was to make Terry McLaurin available, or if the Bears were able to seduce them into it, what would you give up? Would you be willing to give up that number 9 overall pick to get Terry McLaurin? 312-644-6767. That's the number right here at the score if you want to play along here. I would do it. Part of it is, if you could start with DJ Moore. Wasn't that neat how that worked out for the Bears last year in the trade? Saying whatever you want to say about the Bears offense, it could not have worked better with DJ Moore. The revelation to Chicago and the Bears and what DJ Moore is. I love the idea of there's not a development curve. That guy, there was no development curve for DJ Moore in training camp. Like, came in and it was automatic. I know it started slowly with DJ Moore this year, but you know it worked out with him. So if you could get another guy like that instead of risking going for somebody in the draft, as much as I like those three guys that I just named, Neighbors, Odunze, and Marvin Harrison Jr., love those guys. I'll take the proven, in his prime commodity right now if they want to do business with that number 9 overall pick. So, yeah, I would. I would definitely do that. So I'm just trying to think creatively here for the Bears' sake, because like I said, there's a little bit of effort that would need to be made probably to grab one of those wide receivers. But it's not out of the question they could work out a trade package. And you look at the Bears and their what they have draft-wise, you know they've got number 1, you know they've got number 9. Having lost that number 5 pick with the acquisition of the offensive lineman Bates. So the Bears have the 1, the 9, they have a 3, they have a 2 fours at this point. So 5 draft picks is what the Bears have right now in terms of those assets. And yeah, I know, man, you want to keep that 9 and you want to maybe develop your own wide receiver, but I do like the idea of Terry McLaurin. Now, as for the draft, there's a lot of things going on right now that I'm starting to hear. Interesting things. I've now had multiple people tell me, including one on the radio here on Friday night, that Marvin Harrison Jr. is not the best wide receiver in this draft, that Rome Odunze is the best receiver in this draft. Multiple people are saying that. I would say multiple, three. But one of them, like I said, was on the radio with me on Friday night, and that was Odyssey insider Brian Baldinger. And you'll hear me as I talk to him here. I was taken aback a little bit by the fact that he is one of those people that doesn't have MHJ, that's what we call Marvin Harrison Jr., as the undisputed number one, and he explains his case as he did on the clock on Friday night on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I think I like Rome best.
Really? Even more than Marvin Harrison Jr.?
Yeah. And, wow. You know, it could be subtle changes. I just like his ability to play the ball in the air. Is just elite. Reminds me of Garrett Wilson, but a bigger Garrett Wilson. I think he's faster than Garrett. We saw what Garrett Wilson has done in this NFL, you know, with the Jets. But I think he's a bigger, faster Garrett Wilson. He has just as much body control, amazing body control with the ball in the air to contort his body. And he's just so smooth, and his hands are second to none. And that's not to say Marvin can't do all those things. Marvin's a little bit bigger, but I think Rome Odunze, from a route-running standpoint, is a little bit better. He's my favorite receiver in this draft, and I don't think he's going to disappoint. I mean, he's probably as close to Jamar Chase as we've seen coming out. Mm. He's a little bigger than Jamar, but I think he's every bit strong and fast and elusive as Jamar is.
How about that? I mean, like, it's a credible guy right there. You know, Brian Baldinger, an Odyssey insider, got a podcast, does all sorts of good stuff. And as usual, as it works on the clock, which I do every Friday night, 6 to 7, hardcore Bears and draft talk, I just start getting going with these guys, and then it's time to go. It really is fun talking about all of this stuff. But Rome Odunze looks like he could be terrific. No, I don't agree. I still think Marvin Harrison Jr. is the number one wide receiver. I haven't really decided between Malik Nabers and Rome Odunze. But I think that they're both terrific, top-notch, legitimate wide receivers. But still, all told, I am down with Terry McLaurin if they could work out some sort of deal for him. All right, we have to take our first break. But when we come back, let's bring in another Bears voice. Let's bring in Mark Potash, covers the Bears every day for the Chicago Sun-Times. I haven't talked to Potsy in a while. Let's find out what he's thinking about everything. It's 9:16 in the morning in Chicago on Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
The Score.
Rome, the Bears are in a situation where they could draft Caleb number one and then draft a receiver at nine. Is that something that would be appealing to you to be teamed up with a guy like him?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I got to see Caleb firsthand. I got to see his talents and abilities. So, yeah, definitely. You know, and I know that he has an incredible talent. And, you know, I know he's a student of the game and someone who brings a lot of passion and a lot of desire to the game. So, of course, you know, to be paired up with him, it would be something special, I think.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
That was Washington wide receiver Rome Odunze at the NFL Combine, where I was camped out all of last week, gathered many interviews, and got a lot of insight, I thought, from hanging out at the Combine and talking to GMs on the air and off of the air. Wide-ranging reactions to my idea of poking around Washington and seeing about Terry McLaurin, and if they were willing to deal with Terry McLaurin, I would definitely start with that number 9 pick. If you could get a guaranteed playmaker as a wide receiver, not to mention to go with DJ Moore. I would say soft disagreement, though, with me for the most part. 708, absolutely, I see your vision. Give the number 9 for Washington's number 2 and Terry McLaurin, Bears. I guess the question is Washington a good partner? What else Washington giving for the 9, Terry, and do they have another, like, Montez Sweat or something? We could work with that. That's fair. question. I don't dislike your thinking, Mark. However, the defense needs help, specifically the line. Can't disagree with that, but I would still do the wide receiver thing. It's bad from the 608. It's bad ideas like this that keep you on the Sunday morning show. I love the Sunday morning show. Are you kidding me? By the way, I'll be on with Bernstein Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of this week in for the great Lawrence Holmes. So that's some of the thinking. People, like I said, kind of like okay with it, but not really. So continue to jump in on the text lines if you would like at 312-644-6767 to get another voice here on the Chicago Bears. Is a man who covers the Bears for a living. He is Mark Potash of the Chicago Sun-Times, and he joins me on the Score now, again, on a beautiful Sunday morning where the clocks were set ahead 1 hour, so it's 9:23, Potsy. Any issues at all with moving the clocks forward or anything like that? You're all good, Potsy?
Yeah, absolutely, Mark. I've actually moved my clock ahead 7 weeks just to get to the draft. That's how anxious I am. I just wanted to get it over with.
No content. Great line, man. This just reminds me, I just need to take note here on this March day of March 10th, Sunday, March 10th, that it's going to feel like a picture was taken and then you and I are going to be sitting on the back bleachers in Lake Forest watching the middle of the week's training camp practice and trying to figure out exactly what's going on with the Bears, which is what we're going to do right now with Mark Potash. And Potsy, I'll just start. I came in hot about wide receiver as free agency opens this week, and as the numbers have dwindled in my free agent column for wide receiver, I started to think creatively, and I was thinking about Washington's Terry McLaurin, and would I give up the number 9 overall pick if the Commanders are willing to do business? And my answer is yes. Am I crazy, like some people on the text line think I am?
Well, I don't know about that, but I just think there could be even better options or more cap-efficient or cost-efficient draft pick-efficient options that the Bears could have in the draft to upgrade a wide receiver and get a younger, cheaper receiver and potentially better one. So I think it's like anything else. Not a bad idea, but I think the Bears in the situation they're in, the good situation they're in, always seem to have better options, at least at this point in time. And it goes back to the same old thing, you know, with that situation and with the quarterback situation is, frankly, I've heard all the talk. I go back to my stock answer. I just hope there's a right answer. I can't say I don't care what they do,
yeah,
but I just think they're in such a good situation. I think people just have to remember that the Bears are in the best situation they've been coming off a non-playoff year in years, considering the draft, the way they finished up. They're going to be bringing any quarterback into a team with a defense that, you know, led the NFL in scoring defense over the last 9 games of the season, something that's never happened with a team with the number one pick. And overall, it's just a good situation. So I'm a little worn down by all the chatter and the kind of antagonistic way that these things have, you know, this thing has kind of turned. You know, if you look at social media and so with anything, whether it's the receiver, not to get too far away from your question, I just hope there's a right answer. And I think I think that the Bears are almost, no matter what, in a good situation to put themselves in a good situation, which is rare for the Chicago Bears. That's why I think we should be a little more positive about the way things are going instead of so kind of divisive.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, it's just been going on for a while. I think it sort of reflects the world in which we live.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
You know, I mean, it is social media, and that brings out the worst in a lot of us, and sometimes it could be the best tool in the world for sure. So I think we as humans are all conflicted about the way we comport ourselves. There's no doubt about that. But as for the wide receiver then, so you think, and I totally understand, like if you're not down with the idea of Terry McLaurin or making that sort of, you know, using that resource for that guy. Totally understand it. But are you saying then that you have, you're in a good position to draft a wide receiver in the first round? Or are you saying you could still go to free agency, you could still get wide receivers later? Because I look at the receivers and I'm like, they have one guy and then a bunch of depth pieces that I'm not even sure are depth.
Well, they do. Also, when you discuss the Bears' wide receiver situation, you have to wait and see what they do with the Darnell Mooney situation. You know, he was kind of written off last year because he had two bad years in an offense that, you know, was not great. And he's still a former 1,000-yard receiver, okay?
Yeah.
And a different, and who all of a sudden became a different receiver in a different offense. And so if, with Shane Waldron, maybe if the Bears decide to, you know, if the Bears, you know, do re-sign Darnell Mooney, I don't know the odds of that happening, but I'm saying that's another that all of a sudden, if you look at Darnell Mooney as former 1,000-yard receiver who you thought was going to be a really good complimentary guy, a very versatile guy, then it's not quite as dire as it looks, the Bears wide receiver situation. But going back to the original question, I still think there's a chance they could get one of those top three receivers, and I think that's always enticing because I think receivers especially can have such a good chance to be hits, but also coming from college where there's so much more physicality, they have a chance to make a much bigger initial impact in the NFL. I think it's very enticing, especially with a guy like Marvin Harrison Jr. If there's a way to get a guy like that, and you know, that's a guy who a year ago I remember Mel Kiper telling me that he would be the number one pick in this draft. In last year's draft, you know, if he were eligible for it, you know. So, I mean, I don't know if his stock has dropped. I don't think it has. But if you can get a guy like him or Neighbors or Odunze, then, you know, I think that's something that they should really kind of fixate on once they get the quarterback situation figured out. Because, I think they should draft a wide receiver.
Okay. Potsy, I see a texter that just chimed in right now. It says, Grody with 3 exclamation points, which I appreciate it. Bang, bang, bang. Good morning. Has Justin Fields been traded yet? ? LOL. Unless it's happened in the last 30 seconds, Justin Fields has not been traded yet. What do you think about the Justin Fields trade market, and is there anything that you are anticipating, Potsy?
Well, it sure seems like, and I don't have inside information on this, but it sure seems like the market for Justin Fields is kind of defining, the Bears' this decision here, that it's not quite, what maybe they thought it was. And I think that gives, I think it gives Ryan Poles room to take even more time to decide exactly what he wants to do with the quarterback situation, because I don't think there's a big... He could still make a trade in the next 2 days. There's no doubt about that, because who knows what's happening behind the scenes. I don't. But what I'm saying is that if the market is not that great, then that gives Poles some leeway. He's not so forced to do what's right for Justin by getting him into a new team early, because there might not be no new team. Waiting might be the best thing for Justin Fields to find a team that needs him now. So now I think he has the leeway. A little more, if he's that concerned about doing right by Justin Fields, if he trades him, now he can wait for the process to totally play out, get the top 30 visit, get the pro day for Caleb Williams and the other quarterbacks, I think are also might be in consideration here, and then figure out that situation. So I don't think he's as hard-pressed now to do something early and get Justin Fields into the best situation possible, because right now that market is diminished so that it might be a negative to try and trade him early, as opposed to waiting until the draft when you can get all your information. So yeah, it hasn't happened yet. I still think it will happen. It just looks like that's not going to be the market that we thought, which is telling in itself. That tells you, it kind of tells you what the league thinks of Justin Fields. And you know, the league's analysis of players has always been, in my opinion, ahead of what the Bears think. So that's a good tag. You know, I always said the Bears should always go to like Bill Belichick and say, who do you like on our roster? And then keep those guys. Because he knows your roster better than they do. And I think the league in general gives you a more honest evaluation. So they're telling you, based on what we've heard about the value, the trade value of Justin Fields, the league's telling you what your decision should be. So I think that's probably That's the biggest effect of what's happened.
Yeah, and honestly, I have to say that Ryan Poles, it feels like he's had pretty good perspective on what he's done with Justin Fields. And I know he missed last year with C.J. Stroud. That's a miss. There's no doubt about it. But he had the perspective or the patience to say, I'm going to give you another year. And now he's in this predicament where it sure feels like he's decided to move on just based on evaluation. And yes, then you can add in the clock and all of that kind of stuff, the rookie timetable, all of that too. One of the things too, Mark, like, I'm a little conflicted in saying this because it's a really nice human thing to do. But I do think that Ryan Poles maybe cornered himself a little bit by sort of hitting home the idea of doing right by Justin Fields, which privately, of course, you're thinking any GM wants to do that for a player in any sport. But now we are heading towards a scenario where it's starting to get into that gray area of we might have to do wrong by Justin Fields. I guess the question is, with the market not being there, as you said, is it doing wrong by Justin if they are? Let's just say Justin Fields is still on this Bears team in training camp. Are they doing Justin Fields dirty at that point?
No, not if their options were, you know, not good for the Bears. I mean, ultimately, yeah, as much as you want to do right by Justin Fields, you got to do right, you know, by the Chicago Bears. I mean, Poles knows that. I mean, so no, if that's what it is, you know, that's what it is. The league has spoken. It's not like if there's some team willing, it just plays out as it should. If there's somebody willing to give him, you know, a value for Justin Fields, he's going to do it. But if he doesn't, I still think he's going to do something. I think it's unlikely that Fields is on this team because that would just be for the Bears, a really bad dynamic. So I don't think it's going to happen, but yeah, it could, I guess theoretically it could happen because he doesn't owe him that much that he has to do, you know, what's best for Justin Fields at the expense of what's best for the Chicago Bears.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, I didn't even ask you, do you have Caleb Williams fever? Is he the greatest prospect that you've ever seen from what you've watched in all your studies, Potsy?
Well, I'm not a big film watcher. I'm not even a big Draftnik guy, especially in my older age. So I can't say I'm an expert on that. But no, frankly, I'm not. If I have a concern, I mean, I think he's the guy, but it's based on what people are saying. But I guess my concern is that Caleb Williams, to me, is not a guy who is not one of those talents who will automatically lift any team he goes to. Like an Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck, even if the Bears would have taken him, would have made them better. Joe
yeah.
Burrow is a guy to me who would, and on any team he would go on, he would make that team better. He's that kind of quarterback. I'm not convinced by what I've seen, and that's judging everybody else's analysis, that he's a guy who, he's a guy to me, can go to the wrong team. And as we all know, if the Bears can be that wrong team, they will be. And that's just the way it's been. And so I'm serious. That's my fear.
That just sounded funny.
Is that he's not an automatic, and I still think he's the right guy. He's a chance you got to take, I think, at this point. I've known
yeah.
enough about my analysis of what other people are saying about him is that he's at least that, but he has not separated himself so much from the others like I thought what people call the cliche a generational talent would, where he's a guy that no matter where he goes, he's going to make you better, and that's my concern. Is that there's a possibility that he could be better on one team than he would on a lesser team as the typical generational quarterback, and so that there's a little trepidation there, I guess. But
I got
but no,
you.
That's how I feel about a guy who has yet to play one snap in the NFL. He's a guy I think they probably have to take, but again, that's why Ryan Poles gets paid the big bucks. The guy who knew that Patrick Mahomes was the best quarterback or would be the best quarterback or certainly better than Mitch Trubisky is, you know, the guy who deserves the big bucks. And that's why these guys get paid. And I think it's at this level of the draft, you know, it's one thing, not to go long-winded here with you, Mark, but it's one thing to miss on Tom Brady. And because obviously nobody knew that. But I think these guys get paid to determine whether C.J. Stroud or Patrick Mahomes or Drake May or anybody, Jaden Daniels, another mm-hmm. intriguing guy,
yeah,
are better than the guy that everyone else thinks is the number one guy. And so I think there is some responsibility to to make the right choice, even when, you know, everyone else is saying, this is the guy. So that's why I go back to that. This is why these guys get paid the big bucks, and I'm interested to see, you know, just how good Ryan Poles, as part of the team that drafted Patrick Mahomes and graded him, and, I'm interested to see how he analyzes and how good he is at discerning which is the best quarterback in the draft.
Yeah, we don't know what he's thinking. I mean, we all just sort of assume, and enough time has gone by that we've just sort of piled this assumption on to Ryan Poles that he loves Caleb Williams and that Caleb Williams will be the guy. And that very well could be the case. But just even in the last 48 hours, there, for instance, there has been a groundswell for, not that this is coming out of left field, but Jaden Daniels. Like, I feel like Jaden Daniels, the LSU quarterback, has passed up Drake May just in the last week or so in scouts' minds, and that could have something to do with the combine. I also know that Brian Baldinger, who we'll hear more from later on, he thinks that Michael Penix Jr. is the second best quarterback in this draft. So there are varying opinions to your point. And yes, it is incumbent upon the Bears. Like, you can't just say, well, that's what happens. These guys are going to fail. Yeah, you are responsible for drafting the correct quarterback. Potsy, on the defensive side of the ball, would you make the Jalen Johnson contract? We haven't even talked about that yet.
Yeah, I thought it was the right move because it's a guy who was drafted by the Bears, not by you, but he was drafted by the Bears. B has performed well since the very first game he played in the NFL, and C lived up, you know, bet on himself and lived up to his own hype, I guess. I think he absolutely deserved that. And I guess the point I would make about that is I just think it's a good deal for the Bears because it's a guy, it's a player who can still, even though he got paid, you know, what he's worth and pretty close to top dollar in the cornerback market, he's a guy who can still ascend and be better and improve and get better in a defense that itself is getting better. It's the right place at the right time. And I always compare, I make the comparison to like when the Bears signed Eddie Jackson and made him the highest paid safety in the league. That was all, even at the time, that was a tough deal because the things he did to earn that deal, he was unlikely to repeat, which is 5 defensive touchdowns, all those big plays. I mean, even if Eddie was very good, he wasn't going to repeat that. Jalen Johnson's in a totally different situation. He can actually be even better. There's nothing he's done so far with the Bears that you can say he can't do in the next 4 years. And so he can actually be better. So that's why I think it's a good deal because like the Cole Kmet deal, he can actually outplay it as good as it is and make it a pretty good deal. So I feel like that was it's a good deal for him. He's happy. And I think it's a good deal for the Bears to sign that kind of guy and have a key guy like that in your defense.
Hey, do you think the Bears would consider bringing Eddie Jackson back?
I don't think so. My sense is that they just feel like, you know, not only from a cap efficiency standpoint, I just think they can upgrade there. Eddie's a great guy to have. Obviously, he's still a good player, and he's a great guy to have on your team and in your locker room, and it would be great for all of us if he was back. But my sense is that they feel like they can improve at almost any cost, at any price. That's just my guess. So it would be great if he would, and I can't rule it out. But I just feel like, you know, they're going to go the ha-ha Clinton Dix to Sean Gibson route in filling that position. They've got youth. They've got players who are getting better. They've actually got good quality, proven players in every single one of those guys that are coming back, Gordon and Brisker and that group. And now they just need that veteran guy. And I think it could be Eddie, but it's more likely to be somebody else like Eddie.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I mean, you put that pretty well, that those guys that you just ran through from, you know, Adrian Amos to Ha-Ha Clinton Dix to Sean Gibson, and now it's possible they play the same game with Jaquan Brisker, just pairing guys with him, and then eventually they would pay Jaquan Brisker, I think, assuming that he continues to stay healthy. Potsy, this has been great, man. It's been good having a cup of coffee with you on a Sunday morning talking Bears. Anything else, buddy? Anything else on your mind? Baseball, Bulls, anything that is in the hot take-a-sphere that you needed to get off this morning?
No, not really. Just want to congratulate Phillips and Homewood Flossmore and DePaul Prep, the former Gordon Tech, for winning state championships and doing the Chicago area proud. I guess that was probably the one thing I've been paying attention to is
yes.
I always loved the high school, the state basketball tournament. Covered it for many years in the 80s, 90s, even in the John Shire era in 2005 or whatever. And so I have a long history with that. And it always, it's not the tournament it was when I was in high school or when or even when I was covering it. But it's still a great tournament. And even Ronnie Fields was in it. He's a coach at Hope now, one of my favorite players of all time in you know, 40 years or 30 years of covering high school basketball over my career. Ronnie's one of my all-time favorites, and he's actually a coach now at Hope, and he got them downstate. They finished third, I think, in 1A. And, you know, that would have been a chance for a Chicago sweep. That would have been interesting. That would have been fun. But anyway, the state tournament, I guess, is probably the one thing that I've probably been most paying attention to. You know, outside of Caleb Williams and Justin Fields, which I'm trying to get away from. I'm trying to distract myself from anyway. So,
no, that's great. I'm really glad.
One state championship.
I love that you mentioned that. Thank you, seriously, for mentioning that. And anytime, see, I hate that you did this because now I want to talk to you for another hour and I just can't. But you mentioned Ronnie Fields. We could talk about that guy. I didn't realize how close you were with him. Lawrence Holmes, our very own Homewood Flossmore guy. So, Lawrence, you know, you want to call in and brag this morning, you can as well, but I think he's on vacay. And then, am I wrong, Potsy, that DePaul Prep is coached by Tom Kleinschmidt? Is that right?
Yes. Another great, one of the great players of all time in Illinois high school basketball. A great scorer and just difference maker at Gordon Tech. Those were great teams with Steve Pappas, and those were good times in the 90s, and didn't quite get over the top as a player, but he's won two state championships now, so it's good for Tom. Good to see he's doing well, and I always like to see those guys. You know, Ronnie, the great players, it's tough for them to get into coaching because it's so hard. I think it's so hard for great players to be good coaches because they're so used to things coming so easily to them. I give them a lot of credit for being really good at it, too. Both those guys have done a really good job of actually coaching. I think it's really great to see players, you know, that good. You know, you can just tell. It's always painful to see Patrick Ewing struggle at Georgetown. You know, he's such a great player, but gee, it's just so hard.
It was awful, man.
But for these guys, you know, especially Ronnie in particular, I knew him very well. Covered more of his games than probably anybody did, and from his freshman year to his senior year at Farragut.
Could he be the next DePaul head coach? Is he going to be the next Blue Demons head coach, or what? The real Blue Demons.
Well, boy, the way DePaul is going, they could, anything would help, and you'd sure like to see somebody who's been in the program. But I'll be honest, it's going to be really tough for anybody to really win at DePaul, just the way it is, just the way the dynamic is.
Yeah,
I feel Dave Corzine's pain. I know he expressed dismay over the where the program is going.
Oh, yeah.
Dave himself has coached, and, you know, it's been 50 years, believe it or not, you know, not to get too far off. It's been 50 years since Dave Corzine led Hersey to the Elite Eight in 1974.
Oh,
that's really, you know, I was a freshman in high school. It's really, really making me feel old. But anyway, for guys like Dave Corzine and Tom Kleinschmidt, just the DePaul guys, it'd be great. But to answer your question, yeah, it would be great if somebody could do that. But I have to also admit that I think no matter who does it, it's really going to be tough. It's just so difficult.
Oh, yeah.
Because you've got to, it's just like the old days, starting up with Ray Meyer when he kind of restarted, you know, obviously in the 40s it was different, but when he restarted the program in the 70s, he did it with almost always local talent, and that's just so tough to do for a lot of reasons because they go elsewhere, and a lot of Chicago talent doesn't pan out, and it's just really difficult to do that. And I'm not sure Loyola's doing well, but I'm not sure if they're doing how much local talent is. I have to plead ignorance there, but you know, kudos to them and Drew Valentine for doing a great job there. But DePaul, I just see, is just a really difficult row to hoe. And
Yeah. I mean, we always call it a sleeping giant. I don't know. That giant might just be the permanently hibernating, and it's something that those of us who witnessed the good times of DePaul basketball, like, I feel like sometimes I just need to accept it and stop reminiscing. And you know what I mean? I'll never stop reminiscing. Yeah. But at some point in time, I'm not saying you, I probably just have to accept it and stop telling people how great things were at DePaul once upon a time ago.
Well, I'm never going to stop saying that, because those were such great times.
So I know.
Will always live. I will be very. You know me. I am very happy to live in the past. I have no problem with that. I think it can be done at DePaul. It's just the dynamic in college basketball with NIL, being in Chicago. It's just so. It's hard. It's very difficult.
I know.
Teams change year to year. I can't get into that. It's very difficult. So I think it's just hard. It would be great if somebody can get it done. But I'll be honest, whether it's a guy who played at DePaul or not, I just want to see DePaul be good again. And I think that's a really difficult thing to do.
I know. All right, Potsy, I had to let you go like 7 minutes ago, so take care. It's my fault. Don't feel bad. Yeah, we're due for a break. Can you hang on?
Okay.
if I wasn't bringing in Schrockneck, you know Schrock, he gets angry if he doesn't have the platform all to himself. I'd keep you on another segment, but I don't want to upset Josh Schrock.
Well, yeah, it's one thing I've always learned. You never want to upset Josh Schrock.
You better
get to the break and get to Josh and move on with more lucid Bears talk.
Yes.
I'm all for it.
Yes, I appreciate it. I will attempt the lucid part of that, silent lucidity. Thanks, Potsy.
Okay,
I appreciate
Mark,
you, man.
Good talking to you again.
Yes. Yeah, if you Josh Schrock coming up at 10 o'clock, if you don't give him his platform, you know what happens? Schrock and Awe. Yeah, that's his Twitter handle. I don't want to know what it is, so I will make sure to bring him in at 10 o'clock and him only. Yeah, man. What, DePaul? First Dave, last time they were good, the first Dave Lado tenure, am I right? Pat Kennedy? I can't do it. I just cannot allow my inner college basketball fan to think, you guys don't want that. You guys want Bears talk. That's what I'm going to be bringing on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Coming up in about 5 minutes from right now, we will talk Bears with Josh Schrock of NBC Sports Chicago. I'm going to talk about the Bullies later on in the program as well. Bulls finish up a road trip. They lost to the Clippers yesterday in that matinee. They lost to the Clippers and were 3-1 on the road trip. So that's success. And we will discuss the Bulls a little bit later on. We will also talk to the Scorer's Matt Spiegel, who is planted in Mesa, Arizona right now, getting ready to do play-by-play for the Cubs game, which we will bring you at 2:55 here on the Score. But we get Spiegs at 11 to talk baseball and to tell us how nice everything is in Mesa, Arizona right now, which it is this time of year for sure. 312-644-6767. With that in mind, we have just enough time to take a baseball call. Do we have a Cubs call from Dave on the Northwest side? What up, Dave?
Hey, good morning, Mark.
Morning.
I want to talk about the forgotten pillar of baseball called base running. And
okay.
I want to point out three plays last year that make me scratch my head about the changes that were made this offseason. So the first one is Miles Mastroboni ran into a batted ball to create an out in a professional Major League Baseball game.
Okay.
That's something that's embarrassing in a Little League game, but it's there.
Miles.
The situation, the second one that comes to mind is there was a game where there was a runner on first and second. Yan Gomes was on second, and a batted ball went to short left center left field, and it fell 6 to 7 feet short of the left fielder. Yan Gomes was still standing on the base instead of being 30 feet away towards there. And the left fielder just lobbed the ball to the third baseman for a force out.
Yeah.
And then the one that sticks out in my mind the most, which has been obliterated from all highlight reel firms, but you probably remember it if you were there in person, the first game in Kansas against Kansas City at home on the Friday in August, where they, that series that everybody thought they were going to sweep the Kansas City Royals and we're going to go to the playoffs. Christopher Morel did one of the most amazing things in baseball. He beat a rundown between third base and home. There was one problem with it. When he arrived back at third base, there was another player standing there with a Cubs uniform.
Okay.
So given these three things, given those three facts, how in the world did Craig Counsell and the Cubs brass keep Willie Harris on this team instead of putting a fresh face at third base?
Interesting.
I really want this to be discussed not only with you, but I want you to ask Matt Spiegel this question at 11.
Okay.
I'd like every host this week to discuss this issue because I think it's a really important issue.
Well, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. I like the way you built up your case to Willie Harris, the third base coach and the guy that does work with the base runners and does, you know, work with the infielders as well. So I understand the culpability that you are placing on him. Number one, I don't think you're going to get Matt Spiegel to break bad on Willie Harris. I've heard the relationship that he and Danny Parkins have had with Willie Harris on their show in the past, so I could pass it along to Willie Harris. I guess I will answer the question, though, and saying I don't think the issue is chronic on the Cubs. Those are good examples, and you got me. But I don't think that it is so much an issue that you have to start to think about who is culpable for the, quote, issue, and that Willie Harris would be that dude. But it's noted. It's a good call. It is noted. The only one of those that I kind of remembered from last year was the Yan Gomes one and the lob from the left fielder. That one, the other two, I'm struggling to recall right now. But I appreciate the call. Coming up here on the Sunday morning show, on The Score, let's get back to Bears and Josh Schrock from NBC Sports Chicago. He's been thinking pretty creatively about Justin Fields and about where he could end up beyond the usual suspects. So we will pick Schrock's mind about that next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Coming up in about 5 minutes from right now, we will talk Bears with Josh Schrock of NBC Sports Chicago. I'm going to talk about the Bullies later on in the program as well. Bulls finish up a road trip. They lost to the Clippers yesterday in that matinee. They lost to the Clippers and were 3-1 on the road trip. So that's success. And we will discuss the Bulls a little bit later on. We will also talk to The Score's Matt Spiegel, who is planted in Mesa, Arizona right now, getting ready to do play-by-play for the Cubs game, which we will bring you at 2:55 here on The Score. But we get Spiegs at 11 to talk baseball and to tell us how nice everything is in Mesa, Arizona right now, which it is this time of year for sure. 312-644-6767. With that in mind, we have just enough time to take a baseball call. Do we have a Cubs call from Dave on the Northwest side? What up, Dave?
Hey, good morning, Mark.
Morning.
I want to talk about the forgotten pillar of baseball called base running. And okay. I want to point out three plays last year that make me scratch my head about the changes that were made this offseason. So the first one is Miles Mastroboni ran into a batted ball to create an out in a professional Major League Baseball game. That's something that's embarrassing in a Little League game, but it's there.
Miles.
The situation, yeah. But the second one that comes to mind is there was a game where there was a runner on first and second. Yan Gomes was on second. and a batted ball went to short left center left field, and it fell 6 to 7 feet short of the left fielder. Yan Gomes was still standing on the base instead of being 30 feet away towards the, and the left fielder just lobbed the ball to the third baseman for a force out.
Yeah.
And then the one that sticks out in my mind the most, which has been obliterated from all highlight reel firms, but you probably remember it if you were there in person, is the first game in Kansas against Kansas City at home on the Friday in August, where they, that series that everybody thought they were going to sweep the Kansas City Royals and we're going to go to the playoffs. Christopher Morel did one of the most amazing things in baseball. He beat a rundown between third base and home. There was one problem with it. When he arrived back at third base, there was another player standing there with a Cubs uniform.
Okay.
Given these three things, given those three facts, how in the world did Craig Counsell and the Cubs brass keep Willie Harris on this team instead of putting a fresh face at third base?
Interesting.
I really want this to be discussed, not only with you, but I want you to ask Matt Spiegel this question at 11.
Okay.
I'd like every host this week to discuss this issue because I think it's a really important issue.
Well, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. I like the way you built up your case to Willie Harris, the third base coach and the guy that does work with the base runners and does, you know, work with the infielders as well. So I understand the culpability that you are placing on him. Number one, I don't think you're going to get Matt Spiegel to break bad on Willie Harris. I've heard the relationship that he and Danny Parkins have had with Willie Harris on their show in the past, so I can pass it along to Willie Harris. I guess I will answer the question, though, in saying I don't think the issue is chronic on the Cubs. Those are good examples, and you got me. But I don't think that it is so much an issue that you have to start to think about who is culpable for the, quote, issue, and that Willie Harris would be that dude. But it's noted. It's a good call. It is noted. The only one of those that I kind of remembered from last year was the Yan Gomes one in the lob from the left fielder. That one, the other two, I'm struggling to recall right now. But I appreciate the call. Coming up here on the Sunday morning show, on The Score, let's get back to Bears and Josh Schrock from NBC Sports Chicago. He's been thinking pretty creatively about Justin Fields and about where he could end up beyond the usual suspects. So we will pick Schrock's mind about that next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.